Psalm 102, let's stand together and let's look into the Word of God this evening, Psalm 102. And I want to give you a few things, look at a few new verses here and expound on a couple of truths if the Lord will help us as we make our way through this psalm. I know it's been a lengthy study, but I'm thankful for the book of Psalms in our study. We've made it through 101. Verse by verse, amen, over the last, I guess it's been about 8 years now, coming up on 8 years since we started this, and I tell you, it's just been a blessing to my heart, and I have a few favorites. It's hard, every time I pick a favorite, I study another one, amen, to develop it, to preach it, and I'm like, boy, that's a good one too, and that's a good one, and that's a good one, and boy, that one is better than the last one. And you say, why is that? It's because it's a living book, the Word of God. And it's hard, Brother Mike, it's hard to pick one part of it out and say it's any better than the rest. Amen, because it's all what God has to say to us. And I'm thankful for it. I think it was Charles Spurgeon said something to the effect that when we study the Psalms, he was speaking to Psalmist David in particular. Of course, he's the main author of the book of Psalms. He said, every time we read what David went through, we're reminded of the highs and the lows of life. He said, I'll never get so high that I don't bump into King David. He said, I can't ever reach a place of despair and so low that King David is not there writing that he's already been through this and how God got him through. And amen, imagine that, we're walking alongside those forefathers of the faith, amen, they endured things that we're facing, and encountered the ups and the downs, the ins and the outs, the goods and the bads, the mountains and the valleys, just like we do, and God has let them write some things to testify to us of the goodness of God. No matter what season of life you're in, God can help you make it through, and Psalm 102 is no exception. And we want to read a few verses here tonight, and we'll get right after it, and we'll try not to keep you too long this evening. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come unto thee. Hide not thy face from me in the day when I am in trouble. Incline thine ear unto me in the day when I call, answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned as in earth. My heart is smitten and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. By reason of the voice and my groaning, my bones cleave to my skin. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I watch and am as a sparrow alone upon the housetop. Mine enemies reproach me all the day, and they that are mad against me are sworn against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping because of thine indignation and thy wrath, for thou hast lifted me up and cast me down. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. I love verse number 12 and the change in the tone of the psalmist where he said, but thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever. Thy remembrance unto all generations, thou shalt arise. Listen to these verses now. Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion. For the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. For thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord, and all the kings of the earth thy glory. When the Lord shall build up Zion, he shall appear in his glory. Leave off our reading there. We won't make it any further than that, I can promise you, if we make it that far. But we want to continue our thought out of Psalm 102 on bouncing back after you've been beat down. You can be seated this evening. Heavenly Father, one more time, we want to ask that you'd help us tonight. We know, Lord, this evening that in ourself we have no right to access you or ask you anything. And so we come in the name of the Lord Jesus asking tonight and beseeching you, begging of you that you would help the people of God. Lord, in these days we're living in, Lord, it seems like we're getting lambasted from every side, and Lord, things are changing, and Lord, it seems like the world and society is trying to beat us down, and Lord, silence our voice and get us to deter and quit, Lord, being disciples of the Lord Jesus, and Lord, being men and women and young people of faith. Lord, I pray this evening that, Lord, we'd learn the lessons, Lord, not just a bouncing back, but living a life of victory, and living the life that you've saved us to live. Take now this psalm and, Lord, the few verses out of it that we'll look at this evening, and may it, Lord, be strength to our inner man. May it be, Lord, Lord, what we need to give us courage, Lord, to arise, and, Lord, walk in victory when we leave this place tonight. Lord, all that you do for us, we'll thank you and we'll bless you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We've been noting in this psalm, in our study of it, that this is, we believe, a psalm of David. It's a time in David's life. We're not exactly sure the exact circumstances. We suppose it may have been that time in which that Absalom had rebelled and split and divided the kingdom away from his father David. I believe that to be one of the most trying things that David ever encountered in his life, as it not only affected his kingdom and his service and his reign and ministry among the people of God, but it had an effect on his family and upon his friendships and the ways that people were divided against David, and the place that they pushed David to was one of the most trying and afflicting times that David would ever experience in his life. And so he pens this as a prayer of the afflicted. And the heading of this psalm, that's how it's entitled, that it is a psalm that reminds us of the affliction that David encountered in his life in this particular time, in this particular season that he is going through. He describes that affliction. We'll not take the time to go through it again this evening. We may look at a few things and give you some further insight and truths about some of the things David says on this coming Wednesday night. But in verses 3 through 12, or 11 rather, David is describing the affliction that he is in. He's describing the ways that he's been affected physically and mentally and spiritually, the loneliness that he feels and the battle that he's in and the enemies that have risen against him, and how all of this has affected David so greatly in his life. And he describes it as an affliction, a time in which he has been afflicted. And this means to depress or oppress, to browbeat. It describes a man that is being beat down by his foe, by his condition, by the circumstances in which he has been thrust into. David described that plainly in verse number 10 when he spake of the fact that he had been lifted up and yet now he has been cast down. David knew what it was to sit on the throne. David knew what it was to be exalted. David knew what it was to have all of Israel praying for him and singing his praises. And in our day, they would have been saying it in our vernacular, that a boy, David, and amen, giving him his accolades and applause for being an exalted man in the land of Israel. But now David is no longer exalted. He has been brought down very low. He has been beat down by, amen, all of these things as he describes it. It has brought about a feeling of being beat down, cast down, thrown down, a man that has been browbeat to the point that he does not know how much more he can take. And this is an identifying mark in the life of David with where we find ourselves in many a days. Amen. Beat down and wondering, how in the world am I going to make it? How in the world will I make it through the night? You make it through the night and you wonder, how am I going to make it through the day? Amen. And you just feel that constant sense of being overwhelmed, shrouded in darkness, clothed in a night time and a night season. This is where David is at. He speaks of feeling overwhelmed. He speaks of pouring out a complaint before the Lord. And David is saying, I feel like I've reached a place I can't take another lick. I can't take one more ounce of weight and burden put upon my life. I'm beat down further than I can stand. And yet David in this psalm, when he comes to verse number 12, the tone begins to change. And he gets his eyes off of his own weakness and his own beatings and brow beatings and being beat down. And he gazes heavenward from his condition. And he spent verses 3 through 11 describing how bad things were, but all of a sudden something on the inside says, but thou, O Lord, shalt endure forever. I may not can handle anymore, but hey man, none of this is affecting or weakening my God. I may not be able to think that I can endure, but I know this much, that my God shall endure forever. All of a sudden, the outlook that David is in begins to change. Amen. All of a sudden, he is, my friend, beginning to bounce back. Amen. By looking heavenward, by looking to the things which are not seen, and gazing upon them through the eye of faith, David all of a sudden begins, amen, to find a strength to be able to bounce back from the beatdown he's been taking. Amen. And I'm thankful tonight there is a source of strength and a place of help. Amen. That helps us bounce back after we've been beat down. Amen. This psalm is not just about the beat down. It's about the bounce back that comes afterward. Amen. How God leads us out of this situation, and things that God has supplied in some means and some ways that, amen, we have, Brother Larry, that, amen, we don't have to live the rest of our days feeling beat down and being beat down. Amen. We don't have to live the rest of our days feeling sorry for ourselves and living as though we're a victim to our situation and our circumstance and our foe. There is a victory that we can enter into. I'm not denying there's not affliction. I'm not denying that there's not times that we're overwhelmed. And ain't you glad David put it this way in another psalm? At one time I'm overwhelmed. He said, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. And so David realized that, amen, there are things that are beyond our circumstance. There are things that are beyond what we can see. And, amen, there are greater things in that we feel that, amen, will supply help for you and I. Amen, to bounce back. You say, preacher, have you ever felt beat down more than I can see? Amen, we're all in the same boat and we all live our life and we all face so many afflictions. Amen, having been born of woman, we've been promised, my friend, to live a life that is full of trouble. But as a child of God, amen, we have a victory and we have a strength. Amen, we have a God that is for us, that, amen, that sends us the help that we need along the way. Amen, whereby we can, amen, stand in victory one more time. And so we're using that sense of victory in the phrase bounce back. Amen, you can bounce back, child of God. You don't have to be distraught. Amen, you don't have to live the rest of your days down and out. Amen, I'm not saying that things maybe even change between now, amen, and our home going, but, amen, there are some things that'll help us be able, amen, to live above and to bounce back through the beat downs that we take in this life. And so we're showing you how the psalmist was helped. How did he arise above this? How did he bounce back? Amen. We said on this last Wednesday night, I ain't gonna preach it. I'll just mention it and we're moving on. But he found help to bounce back by prayer at God's throne. Amen. The very title of this psalm said it is a prayer of the afflicted. Amen. That tells me that, amen, there was a single prayer that began began to affect David's outlook. Amen. I don't know how many prayers he prayed, but amen, this prayer here is attributed to being that breakthrough prayer where David began to find help for his affliction. Amen. There's a time that he knelt at the throne room of God. Amen. At the throne of grace and obtained mercy and found grace to help in time of need. Amen. I don't know if David was aware of others who were praying for him. And you see, he ain't living in a day where everybody has a cell phone and can say, praying for you today. There are no emails. There are no phone calls. He's alone. He describes, amen, a loneliness that in this particular time, amen, there's no one around David whereby they might encourage him that they are praying for him. And so if any prayer is going to be made, David's going to have to pray for himself. Amen. And all the times we don't even know that we can pray. A child of God, don't you ever quit praying. Don't you ever give up. Amen. Calling out to God and getting to the throne room. Amen. That's going to help you bounce back. I said I wasn't going to preach it, and I'm starting to. Amen. Ain't you glad we got a place we can run to? Amen. That's out of this world. It ain't the Oval Office. It ain't, amen, it ain't some kingdom and throne and crown of mankind. Amen. We've got one that's greater than all of that. Amen. That we can get to and praise God, pile up and mound up our requests and our burdens and our needs. Amen. Pour out all of that before the Lord. And how many days have we stood atop that that had us, amen, weighed down after giving it to God to stand in victory? Amen. One more day on top of all of those things. Amen. We're reminded of the New Testament where Peter said, amen, casting all your cares upon him. Amen. For he careth for you. Amen. I'm glad he cares for us tonight, and I'm glad, amen, I can trust him with my cares. Amen. David bounced back. David found victory. David got a new outlook. Amen. After this battle of being beat down, he found it, amen, by prayer at God's throne. Now, number two tonight, I want to look at one verse for this point, and then we'll, amen, move briefly into point number three, and we'll let you go tonight. Amen. I find here, I want you to look in verse number 13, where David said, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion." David said, and I'll deal with that phrase more in a moment on the next point, but David is speaking of a help that is coming his way. Now notice what David says in describing the help that he's going to receive. He said, he said here in verse 13, let me get it right, "Thou shalt arise and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come." And so David said, it is about my help, my strength, my bounce back, my ability to live in victory. He's speaking in terms that it hinges upon the time. A particular time, in fact, he gives a double emphasis of this point. He said, "For the time," and then he said, "Yea, the set time." Of the time, yea, the set time. Here the psalmist is aware of the set time. Amen. In other words, this gives a reference to an appointment or to a particular season. And not just an appointment or a season that, amen, comes naturally, but in particular, Brother Mike, it is an appointment or a season of which God is in complete and absolute control of. Amen. When he said the time, yea, the set time, David is saying is God is in control of the seasons of my life. It is God that has made and led me to every appointment and every stopping place along the way. Amen. Now, buddy, I'm talking about a faith-building truth tonight. And David is acknowledging God is directing my steps and God is directing my seasons. And I may not understand what I'm going through and I may not understand why the enemy is treating me the way they are. I may not be able to grasp all the whys and the hows and amen, I may not find answers to all my questions. But David said, I need no answers so long as I can understand that God has set some time, amen, in my life, and I can rest assured that God is in control. And you got to get a hold of that because, amen, when we're struggling and trouble comes, we want to try to fight our way out of it. And we want to try to, amen, manipulate the seasons that we're going through. Amen, we run to bankers and lawyers. Amen, we run to pastors and we run to friends and we run here and there and to and fro. Amen. Looking for a way to bring our season we're going through to an end. David realized I can't do anything about, amen, what I'm going through. I can't stop the beat down. I can't stop the browbeating. I can't stop what's being done to me in this time of my life. The affliction is out of my control. But David acknowledges in this single verse, amen, I will trust God that God has a time and a set time, amen, that this will come to an end. In other words, I think tonight the way the Lord gave it to me in my study is that the psalmist is basically saying this, I trust that when God determines my bounce back, it will come to pass. Amen. In other words, when God determines this thing's going to come to an end, there ain't anything the enemy can do about it. Amen. There ain't a feeling I have that'll stand in the way. Amen. And I want to remind you tonight, amen, that we think in terms of time, but amen, God thinks in terms of timing. Amen, and there is a difference. There's not a one of us, amen, that wants to endure weeks and months and even years of affliction and suffering. Amen, and we think of in terms of time. Let me get out of this, and I want to get out of it now. But your God you serve tonight, and the God hopefully you're trusting tonight, amen, is not as much interested in time as you and I are, as much as he is timing. This is illustrated beautifully in the life of the Lord Jesus in the New Testament as we, amen, are familiar with the story in John 11 and the sickness and the ultimate death and resurrection of Lazarus. Amen. You remember when Lazarus got sick, Mary and Martha sent for the Lord. They realized our brother is in bad shape. He ain't bouncing back. We've given him every medicine. Amen. Every old wives tale, a potion we can mix up. We've given to it. And our brother is not getting better. Amen. Well, I don't know which one it was, Brother Mark. One of them said, we might as well go get Jesus. Amen. Lazarus is not, he ain't just got the sniffles. Amen. He is sick and he is nigh unto death. And so they send a messenger to the Lord, amen, and say, thy friend Lazarus is sick. And they sent for you, Lord, I'm talking about, amen, they sent for him in faith. I believe they believed that he was going to come. I believe they believed that, and the Lord got there, the Lord can do something about that situation. Amen, but the Lord did not go, amen, at the first response. Amen, at the first request, if you will. Amen. In fact, the Lord said, amen, we just going to sit here a little while. Amen. What Lazarus is going through is not nigh unto death. Amen. And I'll let you reason all of that out. Amen. All I can say is the Lord knew the end from the beginning. Amen. He knew whatever happened to Lazarus. Amen. He knew in the end there's going to be a bounce back. Amen. That Lazarus, man, friend, would breathe again. Amen. You know the story. 3 days. Amen. Later, the Lord said, let's go see Lazarus. Amen. Our friend Lazarus, he's sleeping. Amen. The disciples said, well, if he's sleeping, he does well. Lord, he must have bounced back. He must have recovered. He must not have needed your help. Amen. The Lord looked at him and plainly said, Lazarus is dead. Amen. Lazarus has been overwhelmed. He's been overcome. And Lazarus is dead. You know the story? How then when he got to Bethany, you find? And then Martha, amen, runs out and meets the Lord. And do you remember what she said? She said, Lord, if you'd have been here, Lazarus had not died. In other words, Lord, you missed the opening of time. Lord, time has gone by so far that Lazarus could have bounced back had you come. Amen, but you say timing is more important to our Savior than time is. Are you listening? Are you getting a hold of it? Amen, you've got to perceive this by faith. Amen, God's timing. Amen, and you may hate what you're going through. Amen, you may feel overwhelmed. You may wonder why in the world has God not saved my loved one? Why in the world has God not intervened? Amen, don't you lay that into God's charge yet. Amen, God is in absolute control of the timing. Amen, of your life and your family and your situation. Amen, and you know the end of the story. Amen, that 4 days, somebody wrote the song years ago, and when he's 4 days late, he's right on time. Amen, God ain't ever late. We think it's too late. We think time is somehow hindered. Amen, our bounce back, amen, through life. Amen, but we ought to be like the psalmist and say, amen, God is in control of the timing of this. Amen, and at the set time that God determines, amen, everything's going to be all right. There won't be one devil of hell that'll be able to resist it. Amen, there won't be one worldling heathen, amen, that will keep me bound and be down when God determines that set time. Amen. That helps me tonight. I don't know if that's helping you. Amen. But my God is a God that, amen, has a set time. I can't explain the things that I've been through in my life. Amen. How that, amen, you just endure through them things. You feel like you're dying. You feel like it's the worst, amen, thing anybody could ever have gone through. Amen. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day, amen, and you're not in the dark anymore. Amen. You're not fighting for your life anymore. And you don't even know how you stepped into the sunshine. Amen. Can I remind you that is the sovereignty of our God? Amen. Fulfilling His divine appointments in our life. Amen. Ain't you glad for that tonight? Amen. The time and the set time has come. And David said, when God determines that, amen, this will come to pass. And so, child of God, how you're going to bounce back tonight? Amen, you've got to have a perception of God's timing, His working, and appointments and season in your life. Amen. Well, let me move on to number 3. Maybe this is going to help you. Amen. We see by prayer at God's throne. And we see preparation, or perception rather, of God's timing. Amen. Notice with me number 3 tonight. We'll look in verses 13 through 16 quickly. And I want to say that David realizes he can bounce back by passion for God's tabernacle. He speaks here of Zion. Zion is the dwelling place of God. Zion is where God has chosen to put His name. Zion is that holy city of God that, amen, that place to the Israelite in that day is where they worship. It is where, amen, they go to sing the songs of Zion. It's where they go to hear the law of God read and explained and taught and challenged to their life. Amen, it would represent to you and I in our dispensation of time, amen, of what the church is to the New Testament child of God. Amen, a place where we can come apart from the world. A place where God has chosen to call His house His dwelling place. Paul spake in the New Testament to Timothy in that pastoral epistle. Amen, he said, I had a desire to come to you. I write to you for now that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And so tonight, this is the dwelling place of God. Amen. I know that He's not confined to a building. Amen. Amen. What we can erect tonight by way of a structure, and yet it's a place that has been dedicated to His presence and to His name. Amen. It is God's house. That's what the tabernacle and the temple was in the days of the Old Testament. And so David said, God is going to do something. He is going to rise and have mercy upon Zion. And then he speaks in verse number 14. And David said, for thy servants take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. And so Brother Rana, he's speaking of his passion for the house of God. If this be the time of David's life, the rebellion of Absalom, we understand that David has been exiled into the wilderness, and David is not able to frequent the house of God as he desired. We know this about David, that David was a lover of the house of God. He made statements like this in his life. Brother Maurice, he said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God and to dwell among the tents of the wicked. Amen. David said that, amen, he longed to see the goodness of the Lord as he had saw it in God's sanctuary. David made statements like this in Psalm 27 in verse number 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to inquire of the Lord and to behold His beauty. David was a man that had a passion for the house of God. I want to say tonight, in a day and an age where hatred for the church is at an all-time high, amen, I'm glad tonight I still love the church. Amen, I understand tonight my Savior loves the church. He loved it and gave Himself for it. I'm glad tonight that He loved the church. Amen, if you love the one that loves the church, you'll love the church too. Amen, when God saved me, one of the things God put deep in my heart, amen, there was an exchange that took place. Amen, I used to hate the church. I was made to go. I was made to listen. I was made to attend. I was made to participate. Amen, and there developed within me a hatred for the church of God until that, amen, morning of September the 14th, 1996, when God saved me, took all the hate for the church out of my heart, and He replaced it with, amen, an infinite love for the church of God. Amen. I'm glad tonight I still love the church. Amen. And if you'll keep your passion for the house of God, amen, and you'll stay plugged into the house of God, amen, you'll be in your place. I can promise you tonight, amen, that'll be a source in your bounce back, amen, when you feel beat down. Amen, I want to say tonight several things about, amen, the psalmist here and his love for the house of God. Amen, what did he love about the house of God? What was it that he loved that, amen, was involved in his victory and his bounce back, amen, in this time of his life? Amen. Well, let me give you four things. Can I do that? Amen. And I'm going to let you go here in just a minute. Amen. Notice with me in verse number 13. Amen. He stayed in love with the mercy that was there. He said, Lord, he said, He said, thou shalt arise and have mercy upon his head. In other words, David said, I know if I never make it to the house of God, amen, there'll be mercy there to help me make it. It's amazing how many times mercy in the Word of God is connected, amen, to our life and the help that we need from God, amen, to sustain us through affliction. Amen, I'm glad tonight you say, preacher, have you made in all these years, said, amen, why ain't you blown out of the church? And why ain't you got mad and stomped off and said, amen, I've been hurt for the last time, amen, because even greater than all the hurts and all the letdowns, amen, are all the times God through his house, said, has let mercy fall upon my life. Amen, sometimes it's mercy in a song, amen, sometimes it's mercy in a handshake, amen. Sometimes it's mercy in someone, child of God. Amen. Coming by and saying, I'm praying for you. Amen. Sometimes it's mercy in a message. Amen. Sometimes, oh, the way, said, and God gives us mercy that, amen, we can obtain to help us. Amen. In time of need. Amen. You say, oh, I've been hurt. I'm just going through too much right now. I need a break from the house of God. Amen. Oh, I don't want to be careful. I don't want to insult you tonight. Amen. But I will say this. Amen. The worst thing you can do after you've been hurt, amen, is to forsake the house of God. Amen. You say, but preacher, I've been hurt. Get in line, big boy. Amen. We've all been hurt around the church. Amen. We've all been let down. And I know some to a greater degree than others. But, amen, why in the world would you leave that place? Amen. Where the mercy of God has been extended. Amen. Sent you help. Amen. Sent you grace. And gave you a message that would help you make it through the affliction. Amen. Don't you ever fall out of love with the church. Amen. Stay in love with her for the mercy that is there. Amen. David said this mercy it is. Amen. God favoring his people. Amen. God favoring that place. Amen. Have you ever been helped around Calvary Baptist Tabernacle? Amen. You ever got a little word from God? You ever, amen, you ever come in feeling lower than snake's knot? Amen. And you got in here somewhere, Brother Jake, along the way, something was said. Amen. God passed through. That's the last point we'll see in a minute. Amen. But somewhere in a service, amen, God strummed the chords in the harp of your heart. Amen. And you got a little bit of joy and you got a little bit of strength and you found a little bit of help. You know what that is? Amen. That's God's mercy sending favor upon his people to sustain us in our time of affliction. Amen. I love the church tonight. Passion for God's dwelling place. Amen. Because there's mercy to help us. Amen. He stayed in love. Amen. With, amen, God's house because of the mercy there. Amen. Can I show you something in verse 14? How the Lord put it together in my heart. Amen. In verse number 14, I see he stayed in love with the members there. Oh yeah, I'm going to preach it out if you say amen or not. He said, thy servants, for thy servants take pleasure. Very interesting thing that David mentions here. Two things. He said, they take pleasure in her stones and favor the dust thereof. Stones and dust. I think that's a wonderful picture, Brother Mike, of the membership of a local church. In fact, I can prove in the New Testament that when the Apostle Paul is writing the mystery, amen, made manifest to him about the church, amen, that he likened it to several things. He likened it to a bride. Amen, we understand that. Amen, he likened it unto a body. But the third illustration he gave, he likened the church to being that of a building. And as a building, here's what Paul said, we've all been fitly framed together. Amen. I believe that it was maybe Peter that put it this way. Amen. That he made us lively stones. Christ being the headstone, the chief cornerstone. And then we, my friend, we've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. We have been added to the building of Christ, His church. Amen. His kingdom, if you will. Amen. We have been made lively stones built upon the foundation of the cornerstone that is Christ. Are y'all listening? And David here said, amen, thy servants love her stones. That's our saved man. That's what God has made us, amen, to be. David said that we have a passion. Amen, thy servants have pleasure. They have a passion. Amen, for these stones. Can I say tonight, amen, all of us ought to love one another. Amen, because we're all a part of the same building. We're all in the same family. Amen, if you've got a profession of faith, amen, then my friend, you are identified tonight. Amen, with others that have made a profession of faith. Amen, oh God, help us tonight. Amen, to understand we ought to love one another. Amen, because we're all loved by the same one. And we all love the same Savior. And we all love the same Bible. And what God did for us when He saved us, amen, He put within us, amen, because of Christ, a love for the brethren. Amen. I'm glad tonight God saved me. I'm glad He didn't just save me. I'm glad I ain't the only one He saved. When He saved me, He let me, amen, He let me for these 9 years now. This ain't the only church I belong to that I have belonged to through the years. Amen, but tonight, amen, I've been fitly framed as a living stone. Amen, and if you're saved tonight, amen, if you're saved tonight, amen, I can love you and you can love me because of what we are in salvation's plan. Amen. Now, that's where it's easy to preach. But He didn't just say that the servants take pleasure in her stones. He said, in favor, the dust thereof. Now, that stone speaks of our spiritual man, our standing in Christ. But that dust, Brother Mike, if I can pull it out this way, and I know I'm preaching pictorially or drawing this from a type, but that speaks of our first nature. That speaks of our weaknesses and our frailties and our letdowns. Come on now, y'all got some dust in you tonight. Amen. When God made man, what did He make him out of? Genesis 2 said, and He formed him out of the dust of the ground. The Bible said we came from the dust and we're going to return to the dust. And so the dust speaks, my friend, of that. And we are by nature. Amen. That's where we fail God in one another. Amen. That's where we don't live up to. Amen. The standard. That's where, amen, the weaknesses are seen and frailties are seen. Amen. But David said it's even in that type. Amen. We don't blow out and not come back to the house of God. Amen. We still favor her because, amen, that dust is as much a part of the tabernacle as the stones are. Are you listening? I don't know if this is making any sense. The temptation is when we see the dust in one another, we turn away and repulse by it and stop loving one another.
You're right.
And I say tonight, dogmatically, shame on us.
Amen.
There are people who quit loving the church because somebody let them down. Somebody done them wrong. They seen the dust in somebody's life. Amen. But David said, thy servants, they love the stones and the dust. I ain't going anywhere. Do you understand? There was nothing on the floor in the tabernacle. Amen. It was a dirt floor. My pastor preached here almost nine years ago. Amen. On looking for dirt in the house of God. Amen. That when you walk into the tabernacle, amen, and you see all the glory and the grandeur and the beauty, the gold and the silver and the overlays and all the curtains and the colors and the lights and the lamps and the brazen altars and all the immaculate way that thing was put together, amen, that there would be a temptation, amen, if you're not careful to look downward, amen, you would see no gold on the floor. There was no silver. There were no plates of wood that had been refined and milled and laid out. It was just a dirty, dusty floor. If you walked in there and all you did started looking down, all you'd see was dust. You'd miss the stones that were everywhere, the beauty to behold. Amen. I know. I heard one preacher say, listen to him the other day, I've been doing this long enough, I know when I'm doing good preaching and when I ain't, and this is good preaching. Are you listening? Amen. You better be careful looking down on everybody. You better be careful looking down, because, amen, when you do, all you'll be able to see is the dust. Amen. And I want to say tonight, amen, there's something in David's heart, though he had been exiled and sent away. David said, I wish I could see the stones one more time. Amen. I wish I could just be around. Oh, yeah, there may be some dust around there. Amen. But even in the dust, I still love the house of God. And I say tonight, amen, I know you got to grow in it. I know that, amen, there's grace that's got to be experienced. Amen, I know it's hard in them first times when you're let down. Amen, I've been in it a long time. It's still hard when you're let down. Can I say tonight, don't let the weaknesses and the letdowns of others cause you to despise the house of God. The minute you do that, you are cutting yourself off from the very crowd that God is going to use to give you a bounce back. Amen. I'm preaching too long. Amen. Notice these stayed in love with the mission that was there. Verse 15. So the heathen shall fear the name of the Lord. And all the kings of the earth, thy glory. He speaks of a heathen people that is all around that must be reached. Amen. That it is through the tabernacle, it's through what God is doing there among his people. Amen. That they have a mission. Do you understand? Even in the Old Testament, amen, they were to be a reflection and a light out to the heathen people that were around them to point them to the law and the glory of God. Amen, that was their mission. That's our mission tonight. Amen, it's the church of the living God. Amen, we ought to be in love with that mission, loving sinners that are out there. Amen, the heathens, the tattooed, pierced up. Amen, vile-looking creatures that are in our day. Amen, I know we get aggravated. I do so many days here. Amen, especially, amen, with the young people that are in our day, Brother Jack. Amen, they just like they ain't got a lick of sense at all and no respect. You want to wish you just grab them by the little old head. Amen, and do that right there. Does anybody bear witness with that kind of desire? Amen. Then the Holy Ghost would say, that could be you if I hadn't saved you. Amen. There are souls that are in need of knowing the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ and His grace. There is a mission we ought to love tonight. A lot more we could pull out of that verse, but notice with me in verse number 16. We call it the manifestation there. He stayed in love with the manifestation there. Amen. Notice what he said. When the Lord shall build up Zion. Amen. I'm not doing injustice to the Word of God. Amen. Not trying to change the Word of God. But when David speaks of building it up. He's talking about bringing it back. Amen. Bringing it back. It's been let down. Amen. It's gone through some battles. It's gone through some things. And David said, God is going to build it up. Amen. He's going to bring her back. Can I put it in terms of the thought that we're preaching? Amen. He said, when God lets her bounce back. Amen. You know what David said? Amen. He said, that is connected to the fact that he shall appear in his glory. Amen. David stayed in love with the manifestation there. Amen. David realized, I may be in a cave and I know God is there. Amen. This is the same psalmist that said, if I ascend under the heaven, he is there. If I make my bed in hell, he's there. He said, if I had wings as a dove, amen, and I can fly away into the wilderness, he said, even behold, thou art there. Amen. David believed in the omnipresence of our God. And God is everywhere at all times. Can I get a witness? Amen. You'll never go anywhere God is not at. Amen. But David said, I want to go on record and I want to say, I know he may be everywhere. I thank God for them times he passes by. Amen. Down there in Zion, down there at the house of God. Amen. When we've been through the battle, we've been through the ringer, and affliction is mounted up and we feel overwhelmed. He said, I'm glad we can be built back up. Amen. Because God is going to appear there. Amen. You say, preacher, why after all these years, all the letdowns and all the afflictions you face because you've been a part of the church, why do you keep coming back? Amen. Because of one person. I wasn't coming because all them people that walked out the door in the first place. I wasn't coming and don't come for all those necessarily that have stayed. I come back because there's an anticipation, Brother Joe, in my heart. Amen, that when my heart's been busted open, amen, and all I've done is cried and prayed all week long, amen, and felt God in the secret place, but amen, just needed something special from God. Amen, I've known if I can get the house of God, and if God will break through and God will manifest himself, amen, it'll make it worth every mile of the trip. I'm glad I'm in love with the house of God. Amen, I've stayed in love all these years with the manifestation there. Your bounce back determines on you being in the house of God around God's presence. I don't understand this crowd. I understand we probably got some home. Now we got some homesick watching, and we got others that watch that, amen, could be here and ain't. I ain't trying to be hateful. I'm preaching the choir that's here tonight, so y'all can say it, a good hearty amen. Amen. I don't understand people in the days we're living, all the affliction and all the burdens people are going through, how they can detach themselves from the house of God. Amen. And think they're going to stand and live in victory. David said, I love the house of God. God does some things down there only God can do in my life. Ain't you thankful for that tonight? Amen. You say, well, you just preaching to magnify the church tonight. You better believe I am. Amen. I'm thankful for my church tonight. Thankful for what God's done in my heart and in my family in this place. Amen. So, preacher, I've been hurt around here, so have we. Amen. So is everybody else that's in here. I'm going to tell you, I still love the church tonight. Amen. I want to stay anchored in it because I know it's key to my bounce back. Amen. So, preacher, I ain't getting much out of it, though, when I come. Just keep on coming. Amen. Anybody can come. Everybody show up if it's always goosebumps and... Amen. Well, they say big enough for piglets to suck on. Amen. Always got a good high feeling and emotion. Oh, but it's in the dark times, as Brother Tim's been teaching, in the dark times, you just walk by faith and obey the Lord and you get in your place. You say, Lord, I don't even know if I'm going to get anything today or not, but but the potential is enough for me to show up. The potential of the help I could get in one single service is enough to keep me showing up, amen, through the night, through the affliction, through the overwhelming, through the beat down. Just keep on coming. God will do something through the church. You'll look back one of these days and you'll see what all God was doing in your life and in your heart through the house of God. Amen. Amen. Prayer at God's throne, perception of God's timing, and a passion for God's tabernacle. Amen.